Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 24th of May, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man. We got background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. No new cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man, and we're at 2.5. It's a new border framework. Feel different to you? Census Day this Sunday, remember, it's mandatory. The Speaker says the benefit system needs to change, and the leader of Manx Labour is standing for keys this September. All on this flume-free Monday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. First am I, Alex Watton.
First am I. There have been no new cases of COVID-19 identified on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. There is currently one active case detected following travel back to the island and who is in isolation. A patron of Groudall Glen Railway has called on government to support the island's small but vital heritage. Yesterday marked the 125th anniversary of the Victorian attraction. A special celebration was held with guests such as the Lieutenant Governor Sir Richard Gosney. And government has denied it's walking away from a popular creative writing competition started in memory of British novelist and former MHK Hall Caine. GARF MHK Daphne Caine questioned whether the event, open to all children in full-time education, will return following the COVID pandemic. Further afield, and the Civil Aviation Authority has suspended all permits held by Belarusian Airlines until further notice. It's after the arrest of an opposition journalist when a Ryanair flight to Lithuania was forced to divert to Minsk. Media Minister John Whittingdale says the reputation of the BBC has been badly tarnished by its 1995 Panorama interview with Princess Diana. The broadcaster's board says it wants to make sure mistakes of the past aren't repeated and has launched a review. And energy regulator Ofgem's approved a £300 million upgrade to expand the UK's electric vehicle charging network. 1,750 charging points will be installed across towns and cities. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayat, thank you, Alex. From the Ronald's Way Met Office, there's a strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea for the next 12 hours on the Isle of Man this evening. Everything's fine on the mountain roads. It's going to be dry with some late sunshine, a fresh west-northwest wind down to 9 degrees through the night. For Tuesday, dry with sunny intervals. Tomorrow, a fresh to strong wind coming in from the northwest up to 14 degrees. The overnight minimum is 8. Jacrane, Wednesday, dry and sunny with a moderate locally fresh northwest wind becoming light and variable. Very pleasant as the afternoon goes on Wednesday. Highest temperature 15 degrees. Low water was a little under an hour ago. Sunset tonight 29 minutes past 9. High water is 16 minutes to 11. Sunrise 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. Low water 4 minutes past 5. And the morning high tide tomorrow 10 past 11.
Find the latest ranges of high-tech windows, doors and conservatories at the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
So, another day of no new cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. Alex is back with the detail.
There's just one active case now from someone travelling back to the Isle of Man and who is in isolation. 202 people are waiting for a test result notification, with 218 booked in for a test tomorrow. Looking at the vaccine figures, and more than 22,100 people have now received both doses of a coronavirus vaccine. The total number of people who have received their first jabs stands at 61,226, and more than 6,000 vaccinations are booked in for the next 7 days.
Self-isolation for those arriving on the Isle of Man can now end as soon as a negative COVID-19 test has been returned. It comes as the Isle of Man moved to what's been described as level 2.5 of the borders framework. The Health and Social Care Minister, David Ashford, says previous changes haven't led to an increase in transmission locally.
There isn't at the moment. Certainly our case numbers continue to go down. We haven't seen a huge jump in people testing positive in any way, shape or form. And also, of course, there's been very encouraging news over the weekend in relation to the Indian variant and the vaccines, where we are massively ahead with our vaccine programme. Every change we do does carry some level of risk, but we've always said we had to do it in stages, cautiously. We didn't feel the time was right to go for the full level two, but we have been able to make changes which hopefully will benefit those who are resident on the island and those members of family and also those with a contractual obligation that need to come into the island.
There was some concern late last week from healthcare workers. One of the rules for those who do test negative is that they can't go to healthcare settings. And I know, having spoken to you last week, that actually there will be an exemption for healthcare workers, but that didn't seem to be communicated to them. Why was that?
Yeah, so the pathways needed to be designed up with what Manx Care felt comfortable with. We're in a new healthcare world now where Manx Care is an independent body. It's not for me as minister to dictate what pathways they have. Manx Care has drawn up some pathways and they have now clearly been communicated to all staff and were communicated ahead of the changes coming in today.
There was the steam packet report published on Friday, and I appreciate the Chief Minister is going to make a statement on this tomorrow, but from a health point of view, we saw in this report non-resident workers popping to shops, a critical delay of 7 days, they say, from the first case to contact tracing contacting local workers. What's your reaction to that report?
Well, as you would expect, I'm not going to preempt the Chief Minister's statement in the House Keys tomorrow. I'll echo the Chief Minister's words when he gave an interview late last week, which is there's lessons to be learned. The Chief Minister asked for the report to be commissioned because there were two different versions of events being given, and that was why this report was commissioned. That has now reported, and as the Chief Minister will be giving a full statement on it in the House of Keys tomorrow.
Tell us your opinion on the news. Email update@manxradio.com. or text 166177.
23 minutes before six, the House of Keys has additions to deliberations tomorrow, Tuesday. An urgent question on the weekend census and a statement from the Chief Minister on the Audit Division's examination of the steam packet. All 17 scheduled questions should be answers after changes in the rules. John Moss with the detail.
If we drop down the list, the final scheduled question on the paper is from Paul Quine, Onken MHK, and concerns resurfacing of the runways and taxiways at Ronaldsway. I understand a firm is poised to do the work, but Mr. Quine, a pilot before he came to the Keys, wants to know when the work will start and what it will cost. One aspect that may be forthcoming in the Infrastructure Minister's answer will be whether ribbing, a safety technique to push water off a runway surface, will be done on the lesser used cross runway. It's already on the main runway. Well, right at the start, before the start of question scheduled, is an additional question, which is labelled as urgent and has been added on. It's from Jason Morehouse, no stranger to urgent questioning. It's to do with the census operation this weekend and the capacity of the call centre to deal with inquiries. That'll be followed by a scheduled question from Mr. Morehouse, this time on planning tax strategies to help the next administration. Subjects that follow move from tourism after the borders open, conservation of important buildings, more detail from the Health Minister on the debate on genomic information, and details about the contract received by the Corrin Home in Peel. Mrs. Corlett wants to know what's happening with the flagged-up border force from the Home Affairs Minister, while Julie Edge continues her probe into the physical effect the new steam packet vessel might have on the infrastructure of the new Liverpool ferry terminal. Upgrading the Balloon circuit, what work is needed before the arrival in Douglas of the new packet flagship, and how that red concrete on Douglas Promenade is getting on, and any remedial work. That's another question. Well, once those questions are finished, the Chief Minister will make a statement on the final report of the Director of Treasury's Audit Division on the steam packet affair. It would be a surprise if that didn't lead to a number of questions by members.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The high-speed craftsman Annan left Heysham at 7 minutes past two this afternoon, docked in Douglas shortly after 4:15, back out tomorrow morning at 8:45, arriving in Heysham at 11, leaving at 2:15, back on the island about 4:30. course, the high-speed craft didn't recommence the Fastcraft services to Liverpool. She's currently providing cover for the Ben McCree, due back next week after her extended overhaul for the stern bearing. The motorship Arrow is providing the freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The living wage on the Isle of Man should replace the minimum wage, and the benefits system needs to change, says the chairman of the Poverty Select Committee, Juan Watterson, after the group published its latest report.
We think that the minimum wage, like social security benefits, should actually provide a reasonable standard of living. We're not obviously expecting that people can have everything that they ever wanted and live on benefits, but we've certainly found that there is no real comparison between what these rates are and what it costs to live on the Isle of Man. The minimum wage and most social security benefits are actually about what employers can afford on the, in the former circumstances, and on the latter about social security, it's about what Treasury can afford. So it doesn't actually bear any resemblance to the cost of heating, lighting, living, eating on the Isle of Man.
Is there a risk with that, that if you put up the cost essentially of employing someone, it then puts up the cost of a company's services or their products and therefore raises the cost of living?
Yes, there is. But if we're going to live in a fair and equitable society, then yes, it will, of course, have those impacts. If businesses, if people need that support in order to top that up, then that's obviously something that we should be looking at. You know, that's where the advantages of support, great support schemes such as Employed Persons Allowance, really help.
Does more need to be done to change the general perception and the culture around poverty and how it's tackled?
Yeah, I mean, there still seems to be quite a level of shame about going to collect social security benefits, when really, for a lot of people, this is about sort of topping up their hard-earned earnings anyway to make sure that it actually matches the cost of living. So we do think there needs to be more in terms of removing that stigma that does exist around claiming benefits. What we've always seen is a social security system that works out how much Treasury can afford to spend and then allocates it accordingly. What we really need to do is change that to see, firstly, how can we make it a help up rather than a handout? But also, we need to work out what it costs people to live on the Isle of Man and then work that back into the social security benefits system. And that's the fundamental change that this report is looking to achieve.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
18 minutes before six, there could be a shortage of Weetabix this summer if a fire and rehire row leads to strikes, as engineers at Weetabix factories in Kettering and Corby in Northamptonshire are threatening to walk out over paying conditions, which could lead to production stoppages. Engineers say they're being made to accept new contracts, which will mean losing £5,000 a year. Weetabix said they've been consulting with workers over new ways of working. Unite the Union says the company's told engineers to change their work patterns under new contracts, resulting in cuts in shift allowances and the move to require more day working than shift working. The boss of Ford UK says consumers are still sceptical about electric cars and switching from petrol and diesel remains a real challenge. The managing director of Ford UK and Ireland, Lisa Brankin, said more UK government support for the electric car market's needed ahead of a proposed ban on new petrol and diesel sales in 2030. Research from UK energy regulator Ofgem suggests 6.5 million households plan to buy electric cars by 2030, but the number of electric vehicles currently in use remains low. Research from the SMMT, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, found that EVs account for just over 1%. 1% of the 35 million vehicles on UK roads. Numbers are increasing, with sales of battery-powered vehicles more than doubling last year, while the number of plug-in hybrids grew by more than a third.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher. The dollar was pinned near three-month lows against a basket of major currencies. Oil rose, gold steadied, and in corporate news, Ted Baker reiterated its 2023 financial targets as it delayed the release of full-year results due to COVID-related disruption. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London, the FTSE 100. Up 0.5% at 7,051. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.4% at 15,437. At halfway through the trading day in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.6% at 34,424. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 1.5% at 13,671. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 1% at 4,200. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently worth $1.41.4, €1.15.8, and 19 South African rand 69.7. Finally, commodities, gold up 0.05% at $1,882 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up 4.75% at $68.11.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseykrikor.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
It's 5:45, live from the Isle of Man. This is Manx Radio, and a patron of Groutle Glen Railways called on the Manx government to support the island's small but vital heritage industry. Yesterday marked the 125th anniversary of the Victorian attraction, and a special celebration was said to mark the occasion, attracting guests like the Lieutenant Governor, Sir Richard Gosney, but the patron, Charles Gard, addressed the crowd.
This heritage is ours. We pay for it. We want it looked after. It's for the Manx people. Of course, we love the tourists coming over, but we need to be proud of it and we need to look after it as we are doing. And the horse trams, I can't not mention them, must, as we all know, go back to the sea terminal eventually. And plans are afoot for that. You see, the government bought, thank goodness, the Camera Obscura way back and did a brilliant job restoring it. It's unique in the world. So many things on the Isle of Man are unique. But that doesn't mean we're an old, backward, heritage-obsessed society. The Isle of Man is a success story. If you remember 1982 with the crash of the Savings and Investment Bank, and in those days anyone who had a biro could get a banking licence, the government had just £1 million in reserve. That was all. It couldn't pay any of the depositors. And the rows went on for years afterwards. I was reporting it on Manx Radio. The man in line was lit up year after year with people complaining. Look at our reserves now. I don't know the exact figure. It's hundreds of millions. So the Isle of Man is a huge success story. The economy's been managed brilliantly for the last 40 years, and many far-sighted decisions have been made that have made us what we are today. And the heritage is only a small but vital part of that. This railway is run to the very highest standard. It's an enormous tribute to them and to the Isle of Man and all the sponsors here that it is still running. So let me ask you to join in to celebrate the first 125 years of the Groutle Railway. Thank you.
Manx Radio Sport.
That's to my Tim Glover.
Corinthians were presented with the Canada Live Premier League trophy on Saturday. Isle of Man Football Association Vice President Steve Carter.
Many of you have probably dedicated this league win and the last year or more to two or three people in your club who can't be with us to here to enjoy it right now. Now, they are sure looking down and enjoying this season and this day immensely. So well done to you. You've done done them proud and yourselves proud as well. Well done. I think it's important, though, if you have dedicated that, you should also dedicate this season not only to them, but to the hard-working committee members, management and general volunteers and supporters of the club. You've got a great club. And we've been long supported by a lot of people. And whilst there's so many within the club that I could mention because I know them well, there's one person that I would like to single out, and that's this man on my left-hand side. Tony, as you know, has been a member of the Football Association with me for over 30 years. And this win, this season, I know how much it means to you, Tony. And on behalf of the Football Association, I'd like to thank you for all the work that you continue to do for the FA and congratulate you and Corinthians on a wonderful season. Well done.
Well done, Tony Meppam and all. The ex-boss of Formula One's governing body, Max Mosley, has died at the age of 81. He was president of the FIA from 1993 to 2009. Mr. Mosley famously won a privacy court battle against the News of the World after a report on his sex life. His colleague, former chief executive of F1, Bernie Eccleston, has said it's like losing a brother.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6 on Manx Radio, the 10 to 5 Liverpool Logan Air flight. The patient transfer plane went 20 minutes late, due back this evening at 20 to 7. Just the one arrival back in. Everything's fine on the mountain road on Richmond Hill. Those temporary lights, yes, until the 24th of July for drainage improvement work and a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit. Remember that. Temporary lights on the main road in Ballasalla near the new housing estate till the middle of July. In Castletown, Victoria Road's got temporary lights 24 hours a day for construction work. That should wrap up this Friday. On the Cool Road, again, some temporary lights till this Friday for telecoms work. In Kirkmichael, the main road's got temporary lights 24 hours a day for work on the pavements. Look out also, Paul Rose Bridge is closed. There's some roads closed around Ballabruey Drive and Avenue for Manx Gas doing upgrade works. And the Peel to Kirkmichael Coast Road's got temporary lights for resurfacing between Devil's Elbow and Glenwillan.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Well, your promise on update is to hear all the candidates standing in all constituencies. And this evening, Joni Farragher is the leader of the Manx Labour Party. She's standing in Douglas East, and she's been talking about why she believes the Manx housing market is in crisis.
Quality housing for all simply means that everybody should have access to a warm home that is fit for purpose. There is absolutely no reason in a wealthy society like ours that we shouldn't be prioritising housing. I think one of the issues that we have on the island with regards to housing, which has been exacerbated by the pandemic, is that people haven't been able to get themselves on the property ladder. That has so many attendant issues. We've seen over 2020, the average house price on the Isle of Man rose by £19,000. It was already too high, and we've seen that average house price rise by a significant amount. Manx people should be able to access Manx housing. We want to see an end to offshore speculation in our property market that is artificially inflating our housing market.
And you also want a national housing strategy. We can't even seem to get our landlord and tenant bill shaped up and ready to go and rolled out. Do you think that that's achievable to bring in a national housing strategy for the Isle of Man?
Yes, I do.
And you think there's appetite for that?
Absolutely. Housing is one of the main issues that people are bringing up. It really has catapulted into everybody's top priority list, as we said, as offshore speculators are artificially inflating our housing market. Lots of people who I speak with who have children, who are young adults, who have ended up moving off island, and they are angry that their children have moved off island. They wanted them to have the opportunities on the island, but they're just not there for them to own properties or to rent in any meaningful way that will give them money in their pocket to save to get on the property ladder. Housing is a huge complex issue, and it really needs to be addressed. It's reached crisis point where we are losing our young people to other countries in droves because of our housing market situation.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Manx government's denied it's walking away from a popular creative writing competition which started in memory of the British novelist and former MHK, Hall Caine. Garth MHK Daphne Caine's questioned whether the event open to children in full-time education on the island will return following the COVID pandemic. Now, normally, the competition sits promoted by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, but it's been moved to Manx Lit Fest. It's something Mrs. Caine told the DESC member and caller doesn't seem right.
It may have launched 11 years ago. It had several good years building up enormous amounts of support with, I believe, well over 1,000 entries a year at its peak. And unfortunately, in a restructuring of departments, an essential resource was moved. And the critical point, I think, to all this is that the competition became so big and so popular that it's a huge administrative task for somebody to run. However, with the Gloria Rukeyser support from the Hall Caine family, is the department just walking away, offloading it onto a charity that is already very busy putting on an excellent event, Manx Litfest, in September? And that, in fact, when volunteers are having to drive around the schools to deliver the marketing material themselves for this, it does seem that the department isn't committed to this. And I'd ask the member whether the department would consider putting a dedicated administrative resource to support the competition for the future, to ensure that children can continue to get that sense of pride they have in winning such a prestigious a prize, a really good cash prize, and even having their work published in a book.
First of all, I have to say that the department has not been directly approached by the family or by Manx Litfest regarding their plans for the competition. As regards commitment, the department is committed to promoting it and encouraging it. But as the Honourable Member says, it is a huge administrative task, and the department is not able to administer the competition solely by itself due to the resources required to run and to oversee it.
That's it for Update Tonight. It's brought to you by the resources of Banks Radio's news department. And thanks to our newsreader today, Alex Watton, producer Ewan Gorn, for Update. Just a quick word, Census Day is this Sunday, May 30th. A week today, it's Spring Bank Holiday, Monday 31st. And 4 weeks today, summer starts, Monday the 21st of June. The stories you've heard on this update and many, many more. Interviews, stories and podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com or via the free Manx Radio app, which if you don't have, it's available at the App Store. Simply type in Manx Radio and it's there free of charge. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. I'm Andy Wint, back with Tuesday's update at 5:30 tomorrow. W